Happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's the house that God has provided for us to come and to fellowship and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. On Father's Day today, on this Father's Day, I wish to speak of a father who is frequently overlooked. Often he is overshadowed by the preeminence given to his wife. And of course, I'm speaking of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and the adopted father of Jesus. And all three selections of our text today concern Joseph and are found in the Gospel of Matthew. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Matthew 1, 18 through 25, Matthew 2, 13 through 15, and Matthew 2, 19 through 23. First, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And you'll notice that these verses are usually read around Christmas time. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Matthew 2, 13 through 15. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And finally, verses 19 through 23 of chapter 2. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Just as God chose Mary to be the one who would give birth to his son, he also chose Joseph to be a father to Jesus and to raise him to manhood. God called Joseph and Mary as a couple, and I think this makes clear the importance that God placed upon the role of a father. Fathers are not only needed for the physical act of conceiving a child, they are also needed for the spiritual task of raising a child. Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, no man, of course, was involved in the conception. Yet a man was still needed to fill the role of father to Jesus here on earth. And just as God looked for a godly woman to bring forth the child Jesus, so he looked for a godly man to be the father. And Joseph was an inspiring model of fatherhood, and he should inspire us as fathers, grandfathers, uncles today. So let's look for a few moments at some of Joseph's attributes mentioned in the Bible. Joseph was a loving man. The scriptures paint a picture of Joseph as a caring and loving man, and this was evident in his relationship to Mary. Joseph learns Mary is pregnant. He knows he is not the father. He does not know who the father is. How does Joseph react? Is he angry? Does he say, "I've been betrayed"? Does he hate Mary? No. Disappointed, maybe. Yes. Confused, I'm sure. Because at this time, adultery was considered a grave offense. And upon discovering that Mary was pregnant by another man, Joseph thought, he had every right under the law to divorce her. Now you realize that divorce was a procedure necessary in those days to break a engagement agreement. You just didn't say, you know, send an email saying, "Sorry, you know, send, you know, FedEx the ring back." You know, this was a serious business. But he, Joseph, also knew that taking this action would bring public shame and humiliation to Mary to go through a public divorce proceeding. So even before God spoke to Joseph, Joseph harbored no vindictiveness or bitterness in his heart, and our text tells us that he had it in mind to divorce Mary secretly or quietly. And there were ways by which a divorce could be obtained without the involvement of a judge. So Joseph was already considering the best way to accomplish this divorce before God spoke to him. He cared for and loved Mary so much that he didn't want to shame her. Also, Joseph was a loving man in his relationship toward Jesus. When this child, whom he had not conceived, came forth into the world, Joseph displayed no attitude of resentment, indifference, or lack of love towards Jesus. He adopted Jesus basically as his own child. He protected Jesus from the hatred of Herod. He nourished him, and he cared for him. Joseph was a loving man, a characteristic we as fathers need to develop. Joseph was not only a loving man, he was also a devout man. He was a man who obeyed God. He explicitly followed the Lord's directions. He, Joseph, wanted God's plan for his life. He wanted to follow it. He wanted to serve God. So when God spoke to him in a dream and told him to marry Mary, even though she was pregnant, he did so. When God spoke and instructed Joseph to take Mary and the child and flee to Egypt, Joseph obeyed. When God said it was okay to return to Israel, Joseph did as God directed. He was a man of obedience. Also, Joseph was a man of faith. It takes faith to pack your bags and move to a foreign country without any prospects of employment, without knowing where you would live, without any advanced planning. You're doing it solely because God said to do so. Joseph could have made excuses to stay where the prospects looked good, where he knew he could make a decent living. But he had faith in God and obeyed the dream. Fathers here this morning, your faith or your lack thereof will speak to your children. Therefore, we need to raise them in an environment of faith towards God. Joseph was leaning on God. He wasn't shying away from God because God had told him to marry a woman who was pregnant without his child and told him to leave immediately and go to a foreign country and then told him to come back, that it was okay. He was leaning on God. Not only was Joseph a man of faith, he was also a man who was faithful in his spiritual duty. Joseph set an example for his family. Dr. Luke states in his gospel that every year Joseph would take Mary and Jesus, and we assume his other children, to the temple in Jerusalem. They would attend the feast of the Passover, and Joseph was setting an example for his family by attending God's house of worship. You know, a young boy was playing one Sunday morning, and his dad was sitting in the recliner reading the paper, and the young boy asked his father, said, "Dad, are you going with me to Sunday school this morning?" The father said, "No, I'm not going, but you need to get ready." The boy then asked, "Did you go to church and go to Sunday school when you were a young boy?" And the father replied, "I most certainly did." And as he walked away, the young boy mumbled, "I bet it won't do me any good either." Father, you've got to realize that our children are watching our faithfulness to see how faithful we are in serving God. To see not only do we have faith in God, but we are faithful in doing our duties in serving God. So let's look. Joseph was a loving father and husband. Joseph was a devout man. Joseph was an obedient man. Joseph was a man of faith. And Joseph was faithful in spiritual duty. Finally, Joseph was also a wise man. Joseph was wise because he lived as one who used his time wisely. By all accounts, it appears that Joseph had a short life. We do not read of him after Jesus' childhood. At the cross, Jesus asked John to take care of his mother. There's no evidence of Joseph being there with Mary. So it seems that Joseph possibly was taken from his family prematurely. However, what time he had, Joseph used wisely. He provided for his family. He set an example for which they would remember. He raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, Jesus was not the only child of Joseph. He raised his other children as well. He had two sons. He had other sons, two of whom were known to us, James and Jude. They were greatly used by God. They wrote books of the Bible which bear their names. James was the leader of the young church in Jerusalem. None of us knows how much time we have left with our families. As fathers, we need to use that time wisely, whether it be 1 week, 1 year, 5 years. Who knows? Only God knows how long we have. Are we using our time, fathers, as Joseph did? Are we encouraging our families at every opportunity to be followers of God? Or are we setting the example for them that, you know, if nothing else is available to be done, or there's nothing else that heads the priority list, then okay, we'll go to church. Or do we put church first? Do we put God first? Are we setting the example? Are we providing for their needs? 1 Timothy 5:8 states, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Some fathers say, of course I provide for my family. What they mean is they bring a paycheck home. But what about the other needs of the family, such as love and affection and laughter and concern and a Christian example and godly counsel? As fathers, we must provide for our own. Let us be challenged. Let us allow this man, Joseph, to inspire us. And if you're here today, whether you're a father or not, whether you're even a parent or not, you can have a life that sets an example for others. We've talked about this before from this pulpit, that somebody is watching you. You may not know who it is. It may not be anyone in your family. It may not be your children. It may not be a fellow employee. But it may be someone in your community, someone who has seen you at a function and is watching you. You are setting the example for someone. So if you would like to be the example with the attributes that Joseph possessed, Joseph, the father for the Son of God, you can come forward and profess your faith in Jesus and ask God to guide you and give you the ability to display those qualities that will influence others. We invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 300, Without Him.